Hey, this is September 14th, and this is Sincerity.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. Well, here it is, September. September to me is always a very, very wonderful month. I love September because it means going back to school. It means learning something. It is also a very wonderful time because of nature, because this is the time that the harvest comes in. So remember that. If you're out there doing demonstrations, if you're out there thinking of making a demonstration, something hasn't come to you, make it come during the month of September. Because if you take a hint from nature, you can see that the harvest is ready. There's a little saying in the Bible which says, look to the fields. They are all ready for harvesting. What does that mean, metaphysical? Look to the fields. Look into your own mind. Your mind is your field where you plant ideas, where you plant things that you wish to manifest in your life. So when you see the word field, change it to your mind. In your mind, a very fertile field is there. Anything that you plant in your mind, you will be able to harvest. The other thing about look to the fields, they are ready for harvest. You must always look to anything. If it's a plain field, whatever it is, you must see the harvest before it is there. Remember, you must always start with it is already done, that you already have everything. If you think you have nothing, if you think you don't have what you want, you will never get it. You have to know that you already have it. Then it will appear. But as long as you tell your mind that you do not have it, you will not have it. You see with your mind, not with your eyes. So look to the field, already in harvest. You must always know that it is already done for you. Everything is done in mind. As soon as you get an idea, all the things that are necessary for that idea to manifest itself on this plane of action are already done. In the mind of God, everything is already done. So in your mind, you must see everything as already done. So that's why I like this time of year, the fall. You can really get into this energy of harvesting, of now you've done all the work. Now start to harvest. Many people are always working and they never stop to harvest anything. You must stop and harvest your crops, your demonstrations, your manifestations. And this is a perfect month to be able to do that because you're aligning yourself with nature. So you take a hint from nature and see what kind of a demonstration you want. Now, I have out here, and I'm sorry that this is so small, squint print and all, and I had to, my printer wouldn't print some of that stuff. But I want you to look at this because regardless of what we do in here and the different things that we talk about, this class is entitled Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money. And we're always interested in money, and we want money to come to us. The whole idea, we will just go through this slightly, and you can take us home, reread it, and do your own thing. If you'll look at the different websites on there, pull them up, it will tell you this and what's going on. The whole idea here is, and we know this, this is across the board. Remember, we live in a mental world. It's a mental world we live in. Don't get confused that it's a material world. It is an absolute mental world. Everything comes into existence through your thinking, through your mind. Now, we know we live in a sea of vibrations. Everything and everyone is frequency. You have to remember that. What kind of a frequency are you putting out? People want to draw something to them. They want to draw money to them. But their vibration that they're putting out will never draw the money to them because they're living in lack and limitation. They're living in scarcity, and they're thinking scarcity. Why they're doing an affirmation for money? It's not going to work. You must get rid of the idea that there's scarcity. That is what the world teaches you, that there's limitation, that there's scarcity. There is no scarcity in the mind of God. There's no scarcity in the universe. We find out more and more about this universe. Look at all the galaxies and so forth that they now have. When I went to school, we had one galaxy. I believe it was the Andromeda galaxy. It was the only one that they said was next to ours. Now they think there is over 100 million galaxies out there. So you see, there's abundance everywhere. So don't let the world convince you that there's lack, limitation, and scarcity going on. If that is in the back of your mind, if that is what's going on, you must change that. Otherwise, it will do you no good to sit and say, money is always freely circulating in my life, and I have divine surplus, while a little thing in the back of you is going, ha, 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 but you live in lack and limitation. You're going to continue to live in lack and limitation. You must get rid of that idea. So this is helping you get rid of that. And the crux of the whole thing is, yes, there's a vibrational force around everything. Around everything. I don't know how many people here know Maya Angelou. And I've told you this story before about Maya Angelou. If you're in Maya's home and you talk negative, she asks you to leave. She says, I will not have that being absorbed by the walls of my home. And this is what happens. Have you ever walked into a particular place and you felt, oh, this doesn't feel quite right? It's because everything is absorbing. Everything is vibration. And those vibrations are absorbed into everything. So it's absorbed into this thing called money. And I think I mentioned, I think it was before class, I don't think I mentioned it at class. In fact, I think it was Monk that I mentioned it to, about United States currency. Now, not only is there vibrational things, and everyone that touches that as we go around and circulate money, it has all kinds of vibrations in it. But it also, American currency, has more cocaine in it than any other currency in the world. Because apparently, people sniff it, right? Up the dollar bill or something. They say that our currency, so we know that it has that. So now you have to think, how many people touch it? How long has it been around? And where has it gone? Has it been with a miser that hates giving you money? And then you take that money. Well, that happens to have that vibration in it. So the whole idea here is to cleanse your money and to cleanse the vibration of money. And she talks about the matrix. Well, the matrix is, we can call it the mind of God, if you wish. It's a field that is out there. They used to call it the ethers. They call it all kinds of things. It doesn't matter what you call it, but you have to realize that there is something going on out there. How many people remember when one of the space shuttles was off course and they could not get the space shuttle to come back onto course? They asked people to pray. People prayed. And the space shuttle went back onto course. Why? Because of the vibrations put out. We know that prayer works. We know that prayer can heal. It's the vibrations you're putting out. This month, we're going to talk about sincerity. When I talk about a sincere heart, or you have to have sincerity when you're doing something, we'll talk about that later because I have tons of things here to cover. But you have to with your money. So when you have your money, use your imagination. How are you going to cleanse it? Do you remember a little exercise we used to do about cleansing our mind? We would wash our mind. We'd just reach up, take our mind out, take our brain out, put it under the water, shake it, and get all that negativity out, and put it back in. This is using your imagination. This is what you're going to do with your money. You're going to cleanse your money so that it doesn't contain all the vibration of lack, limitation, scarcity, and all that. So how do you do that? You do that again with your imagination. You're never going to get away from this idea of using your imagination. It's the greatest tool that you have ever been given. It's the gift that has already been given, and yet we keep looking for something else. Use your imagination. Think of all kinds of things. Run it through your microwave if you want to. Now, I'm using my imagination. I don't stick my money in the microwave. I stick it in the imagination microwave. think of all kinds of things that you can do to cleanse your money so that you can change the vibration of money. What is the vibration that you have about money? Do you think money is scarce? Did you hear that from your parents? Money doesn't grow on trees. Who the hell do you think you are? John D. Rockefeller? Those are the comments that I heard at home. So we put these vibrations into our money, and we get money from somebody else who has horrible vibrations, and we take that money in and we put it in our pocket. Now it's in our body and so forth. It goes someplace, it does something. Vibrations just don't stop, and you close your wallet, you think it's, it says, okay. No, it's still going to be vibrating. So think of those things and just change it. When I handle money, I'm always careful with money. I always look at it. I put the faces up. I do all kinds of things with my money. I respect money. Why? Because if I respect money, it's going to respect me, and it's going to stay with me. So you have to respect your money. I think about 30 years ago or more, I wrote on my checks, remember, God bless and multiply this money quickly. Ever since I've done that, I have never run out of money. Even though I have been out of work and all kinds of crazy things have happened, money has always come. And I absolutely firmly believe it is because God bless and multiply this money quickly. I realize that when I send out my money, I sent a gas bill out today. As soon as I send that gas bill out, I say, thank you very much that I have the money to pay this. And I know that this money is going out so that other people can pay their bills, so that some family can eat tonight. You have to see money as God in action. You have to see money as only good, and it's always going out to do good things for you. And it's always going to return to you. It's always going to return to you. This is the part that people get wrong. They think they have to hoard. They think if they give money away, it'll never come back to them. As soon as you release anything, and you do that with a sincere heart, money is going to come back to you. Money is going to come back to you. So try these little things. Just don't buy in to just grabbing money and thinking that that it doesn't have a vibration. First of all, don't think that anything doesn't have a vibration. Everything has a vibration to it. And we put that vibration into that, into what it is. So if you use your money, bless your money, cleanse your money, and send it out, it will come back to you. And always multiplied. Add that little thing. God bless and multiply this money quickly for me. But change the vibrations of your money and change your thinking of what money is. Money is a wonderful tool. Money is God in action. Think of it as that, not as something scarce, not as something that you have to work hard for. You can relax into wealth. Once you realize that, then money softens and it keeps coming to you. Things happen. But the main thing here is to remember that we live in a mental world. We're always putting out different vibrations. And those vibrations are being soaked up by everything around you. Your house, the walls of your home, everything. So, we are very powerful beings. And that's what you have to know. That's what the whole idea of learning that you are gods and goddesses. To realize the power that you do have. And how you can use that power to influence your life and to influence other people's lives. So, without going reading all this, you can do that at home. As I say, I'm sorry that it's small. But see if you can get those links. I looked at them and I thought they were fabulous. And this came to me through Tacy sent it to me. And I sent it immediately to another friend of mine who said it came to her at the exact right time. The exact right time, because she was ready to do something. And she sat down and cleansed her money and so forth, and it worked out much better for her. So think of that. Think of your money as a vibration, and everything is a vibration. It's a mental world we live in. Now, I want to turn to this. I was at lunch the other day with a friend of mine, And he had this in his office, and I said, can I please have a copy of this? So let's look at this once. The content of your character is your choice, day by day. What you choose, what you think, and what you do is who you become. I'm not good with Greek, but I'll try this. This is Heraclitus. Heraclitus was born in 540 B.C. In 540 B.C., he knew this. What does this sound like to you? This is exactly what we teach here. You know, many times I tell you, I'm going to give you the secret of life. This is absolutely the secret of life. Absolutely. The content of your character is your choice. You have to start to remember that it is your choice. What you think about, you bring about. This also sounds like Henry David Thoreau, who said, what a man thinks about all day long, he becomes. He becomes. You and I have choices, and all day long we're making choices. But we're basing those choices usually on a stimulus that goes on outside of us, and we think that has caused it. It's never going to, anything on the outside of life causes nothing, people. Anything on the outside of life causes nothing. Only what you think causes something. Thought has power. Circumstances, situations, and events have no power. They are not cause, they are effects. And we keep dealing with effects, thinking they're causes. I went into that once before. Do not do that to yourself. Know that you are making. And now look, this is in 544 B.C. Somebody knew that. Now how long ago is that?
A long day.
It's a very long day, and do you know what else? It's a long time before Christianity, isn't it? It's a very long time before Christianity. During this period, they had pagan gods. They had many gods. There was not one god at this time. But they knew this. Why am I bringing this up? Because it's not necessary to think that God is doing all this stuff. It is not necessary to have all these churches and to do all this stuff we do. What it's necessary to realize is that you have a choice, and your life is the choices that you are making. If you don't like your life, choose again. Make a different choice. But you are the cause under your own experience. You are doing this. Now, how many thousands of years ago did people know this? Did people know this? And we're still not believing it. Because if you ask somebody else, no, it's the economy. That's the way I am, because of the economy. I'm this way because I didn't get a high school education. I'm this way because of my parents. You are never any of those things. That's all on the outside of life. What you are, the choices that you're making, day by day, moment by moment. Who do you want to be? What type of a character you want to be? You're the one who makes those choices. You don't say, oh, it's because of my genes, it's because of my parents, it's because of this. It's the choices that you make. You can become any person that you want. Any person that you want. Now, in relationships, people are always looking for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right or whatever they're looking for. And they want the person to have this quality and that quality, and they want all these different things. You will never find that person until you become that person. You will never find that person until you become that person. You must always become what you want. If you want to be successful, you must start feeling successful. You must start being those things. These are choices that you are making. It has nothing to do with waiting for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right or waiting for money or not waiting for money. When I'm wealthy, I hear people say, well, when this money comes, then I'm going to do this, 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 and this. Very unlikely. First, it's very unlikely that money's going to come to you. Because if you're not doing it now, you're not going to do it when the money comes. That's why people that receive large groups of money lose it very quickly, because they have no idea what to do with it. Start getting an idea and a concept what you want to do with your money. start having a concept of who you want to be, who you want to become. You can do anything that you want inside of your own mind by making choices. If you want to be have integrity, then start acting with integrity. If you want to be smarter, then start reading a book. Start doing something. But don't, what I'm trying to say is, stop blaming everything on somebody else, and certainly stop blaming everything on God, and think that God is doing all this stuff to you, or because God is not doing anything to you. God is not doing anything to you. This universe, this thing they call God, is for you. That's all you need to know. You came here to this plane of action completely equipped to thrive. Completely equipped. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Man was born to be rich, or inevitably grows rich, by the use of his faculties." The use of his faculties is thinking. This field that you have up here where you can plant any idea that you want and watch it bloom, watch it come in so that you can have your harvest. These are the things you need to know. It's always going to be you, not anybody else and not God. You can involve God if you want, but you can do it without God. When I say that, what does that mean? That means if you know that you're part of the universe and you're part of God and you have all these qualities, you don't have to keep asking God constantly. Go out and do it yourself. You are equipped to do that by making choices. By making choices. So each day, it's you, it's your character that's doing that. So if you don't like, many people don't like themselves. Many people don't like themselves. How can you not like yourself? That is a choice. That is a decision. You know. Well, I don't like myself because no one else likes me. Or my parents didn't like me. Or whatever. You have to decide to like yourself. You have to decide to be able to do this and to do it for yourself. I have two clients, and each going mentally in a different direction. The one client knows this, not only intellectually, but through the heart and through the whole being and through the whole body. So anything this person decides to do comes to him. If he decides he wants to go on a trip, he doesn't have the money, he knows that money is not the issue. And he gets the money, comes for him. The trip comes for him. Whatever he wants comes for him. Because of his belief system. Because he is working with this, and he's working with this thing we call the law. This other client that I have understands it completely intellectually, but cannot make it work. Because it has never gone from this head down into the heart area. And it has to be done with feeling. And you can sit there and say, I know all this stuff. I've been in this for 30 years. I've read all these books and so forth. Well, the proof is in the pudding, all these people. The proof is in the pudding. You have to be able to make it work. When you make it work, then you understand it. Till then, it's an intellectual concept that you're not grasping. It may make you feel very good, and it may make you feel very intelligent that you know all this stuff. But if you cannot manifest something, if you cannot demonstrate something, you are not making it work for yourself. You see, we want this to work. It's a practical teaching to be used every day. It's a teaching to bring into your life the things that you want to make your life better. Not to be constant. Not to be constant. This person, the one that can't make anything, uses the word constantly, but I'm trying. I'm trying. I'm really trying. I'm trying. You can say you're trying till the cows come home. It's like the word hope that we had the other week. It has no value whatsoever. You're either tying your shoe or you're not tying your shoe, but you're not trying to tie your shoe. I think it was Yoda, didn't he say to the little guy, don't try, do, or whatever he said. You must do it. You can't say, I'm trying to get this. I'm trying to understand this. You're either understanding it or you're not understanding it. Now, here's the problem that I have with this person. I explain that to her. She says, oh, yes, I really do understand that. Well, she doesn't understand it because she cannot get past her own bloated nothingness. She cannot get past that. You have to get past your own self. You see. So she's going to keep trying, and she's going to keep trying. And she is very trying to me, I'll tell you that. Very. You have to be able to make this work. You have to be able to make it work. So, how do you make it work? You don't say, you're trying. You say, I'm doing this. Now, your mind will say to you, the mind loves to say, oh, try, because that's a loophole to get you out of anything. You see, you're not really going to do anything. When you say, I'll try to be there, or I'll try to do this, you know damn well those people are not coming. As soon as you hear the word try, you can forget it. I'll try to make it. You can forget it. They're not going to come. That has no value whatsoever. But you cannot start out programming your mind. It's, we're reprogramming. We're learning to think differently. But if you start out with the premise, I'm trying to do this, what is your mind saying? It's saying, huh, it's not working for you. You have to say, it is working for me. You have to be affirmative, constantly telling yourself, I am getting this. I am understanding this. If you say to yourself, I don't get it, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. I don't know what I'm doing. Never tell yourself you don't know what you're doing. Always say, I know exactly what I'm doing. And if I don't know what I'm doing, I know that there's a power within me that does know what I'm doing. And it's directing me right here and right now. But you do not tell yourself that you don't know what you're doing. If you say to yourself, I don't know what I'm doing, your mind says, yes, you're absolutely right, you don't, and I'm going to give you 10 reasons why. You see, we're working with our minds. It's a mental world we live in. We are the ones that are causing everything. Everything comes into your life. You have to say, ha, I caused that. You look at it. If you like it, you keep it. If you don't, you choose again. You do something else. You're saying, you do something else. But don't get stuck. The young lady said to me, well, I've always been this way, and I guess I'll stay this way. Now, isn't that a hell of an affirmation? That's the worst thing you could say to yourself. What do we know? The main thing that we know is change. Everything changes. And you change. You're not the same person you were a week ago, a day ago, or even this morning because you learned something. So because you learned something. So you have to say, I'm changing. Then in which direction do you want to change? It's your choice. Which direction do you want to go in? And then plot that out and plan that out. Take your life seriously. See, take it seriously and do something. You can guide your own life. You have the strength to do that. You have the intelligence to do that. So it's a choice. So it's day by day. What you choose, what you think, and what you do is who you become. Is who you become. So what are you thinking about? I'm always asking this question to you. What are you thinking about yourself right here and right now? What are you thinking about yourself? Okay? Would you turn? Hello? Would you turn and say, I give and receive money with joy and appreciation?
I give and receive money with joy and appreciation.
I give and receive money with joy and appreciation.
I give and receive money with joy and appreciation.
I give and receive money with joy and appreciation.
I give and receive money with joy and appreciation.
I give and receive money with joy and appreciation.
give and receive money with joy and appreciation.
I give and receive money with joy and appreciation.
I give and receive money. I give and receive money with joy and appreciation.
I give and receive money with joy and appreciation.
I give and receive money with joy and appreciation.
I give. Oh, that's it. And I give and receive money with joy and appreciation. You see, if you do this and change that to joy when you're giving money, when you're buying something, when you're buying groceries, when you're buying gasoline, now that's a big one to do, isn't it? Especially as gasoline. But you have to be joyful. You have to be joyful. The first thing I ever do is I sit right down and I say, oh, thank you, I have the money to pay this. Thank you, I have the money to pay this. You see? And then I pay my bill immediately. And I take it right to the mailbox. I never let a bill stay on my desk. I immediately pay it. And I give thanks that I have the money to do that. And with the little thing, God does had multiply this money quickly so that I know that it's coming back to me. So you have to fill yourself with joy and appreciation, not only in the giving, but in the receiving. Because you have to be able to give and receive, give and receive. Many people can't do that. Learn to do that, but learn to do it with great joy and great respect for this thing called money. But know that money is always freely circulating. It is not limited. There's no lack, limitation, or scarcity in your mind or in the mind of God. And that's what you want to see, and that's what you want to do. So, let's close our eyes a moment. And let's just see a stack of money in front of us. It can be tens, hundreds, whatever you wish it to be. And you're grateful that you have this stack of money. And you fill yourself with joy. And then you touch this stack of money and you fill it with joy. And you realize that this money is going to go out from you. And now, you start to see the money flying away. Just flying away. Like a little bird. It's just flying. And it's doing its little work around. It's doing here. It's doing there. Your money is out there working. And then just like a homing pigeon, that money starts to come back to you. And as it comes back to you, you see, my goodness, the stack is getting larger. And as more comes out, goes out, more comes back. And you love this. And you say to yourself, look how this works. I give out and it comes back to me. This is wonderful. Think of it as a boomerang if you want. As far as you can throw that boomerang, as far as you can throw that money, it's going to come back to you. This is what you need to know. See the money. And see it coming back to you. You can come back when you're ready. So you could change that energy around yourself and around your money and around your concepts of money when you realize that that money is going to come back to you. How many people have heard, oh, all I do is spend money. It just costs me money all the time. You see? That's not a good vibration. It may cost you money, but you have to know that that money is going out with joy and appreciation, and it's going to come back to you. And this is the thrill you're going to get from it. Knowing, oh, I can spend this, it's going to come back to me, and I'm going to wait and see how long it's going to take for it to come back. And then don't say, it's going to take 10 years for this to come back. Know that it's going to come right back around again. You are the one that's doing that. You're doing that in your mind. You're doing that with yourself. So, a mental world we live in. Learn this little thing. Do this for yourself every day. Realize how many thousands of years ago people knew this. There was another Roman emperor. His name was Marcus Aurelius. And I think he dates from 121 BC, even before this. So he knew, he called it a fire within everybody. And he thought that everyone had this fire in them, which would be spirit, you see. Now he knew that way back then. He was called one of the wise emperors. He was a philosopher. He knew this stuff. There has been so many people on this plane of action who have known and taught these simple, basic things. And yet today we are still struggling with that idea. How can this be so? How can it be that it's choice always? How can it be that I am the one that's creating myself? Because I look sort of like my parents, you know. That has nothing to do with it. You do not have to be like your parents. You see. My parents did not understand money. They did not understand money. Do you think I want to be like my parents? This does not mean that I dislike my parents. But I don't want to be like my parents. You see. And many people think, oh, I have to be just like my parents. I have to think like my parents. I have to have the same values of my parents. I have to handle my money the same way that my parents handled their money. Well, if that would be true, I would have nothing by now. You cannot do that to yourself. You have to learn to create your own self. And you can create your own self any way you wish. And you can start right here and right now. It does not matter what you did in the past. Give up that idea. Don't hold anything against you. This thing called God holds nothing against you. And God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. There is no judgment going on. The only judgment that ever goes on is in your individual mind. You are holding something against yourself. Do not hold things against yourself. Forgive yourself instantly. That's the whole idea of go and sin no more. Go and don't make that mistake again. Choose a different way to think about things. Choose a different way to think about things. So, once again, mental world. Always, from the inside to the outside. Life is an inside job. What are you thinking about yourself right here and right now? Do you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter? With that, let's do the matter things. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter. I really, really matter. Yes. Now, let's take a moment and talk about this thing about being sincere. in all, any of the philosophies, any of the teachings, in most, I shouldn't use the word most, in all healing modalities, we're talking about Reiki, we're talking about any of those healing modalities, the first thing that you need is what's called a sincere heart. What is a sincere heart? It's an honest heart. It's an open heart. It's absolutely believing in yourself and in the technique that you're using. You have to have a sincere heart. So people say, well, how do you get a sincere heart? The same way people say, how do you get faith? How do you get a belief? How do you? You work on it. You think you're born with it? I don't think so. You have to learn these things for yourself. You have to learn these things for yourself. You know when you're sincere. When you do a treatment or an affirmation, don't you know when you're kidding yourself or when you're absolutely sincere about it? You have to know those things about yourself. So you start with the idea that you have a sincere heart, that this is a pure heart, that what you are doing is absolutely beneficial, not only to you, but to the other person, you see. So then you go about your healing and you do that healing work. Now, when Reiki and so forth is what's called hands-on healing. And the idea of touch, and I believe in all that stuff, and I believe in the power of touch, and I do believe that we have energy and that we can transform that energy to other people and help them. But in religious science, we do not have laying on of hands. All healing in religious science is done in the mind of the healer. It's always done with you. Somebody comes to me for a healing. I do that healing in my mind, not in their mind. But how do I do that? I do that by seeing them in a different way than they see themselves. You see. Mary Baker Eddy was a great healer. Mary Baker Eddy was the founder of Christian Science. Somebody asked her, how do you do this healing? She said, I never see a sick person coming towards me. I see a whole, complete, and perfect human being coming towards me. She does that in her mind, you see. She does that in her mind. So you must start with your mind. Start with your thinking, with that sincerity. Start, how does that? Filter it down, open sincerity. But when you're doing anything, you're doing it in your mind, not in the other person's mind. You're always healing yourself, not the other person. What are you healing yourself of? The false belief that you hold about the other person, that they have a disease. That is a false belief. You must heal your belief before you can heal anybody. As soon as you heal your belief and the person is receptive, they will heal. They will heal. Why? Because what is known in one spot in mind must be known in all spots of mind. We live in a holographic universe. This thing we call God is holographic. That's why you can say to yourself, I am some part of God. I am a godling. I am a god or goddess in the making because of the hologram. Everything is contained in every piece. Makes sense? These are the things that you think about. This is what you do. So, just be sincere in what you're doing. Many people, how many people do you know? I know quite a few. They go to church, they do all those rituals, they do everything, but they're not sincere about it. It's just become rote and automatic with them. So when you do something, say, I'm sincere about this. I absolutely believe that this is going to work. I absolutely believe that there's an intelligence out there. There's a power out there. There's a life out there. There's an energy force out there that I am some part of. And if we call that collective energy God, then so be it. Call it Harry if you want. God does not care what you do. is you're the one who has to care. You're the one who has to become sincere. God is already sincere about the whole thing. You become sincere in what you're doing. Always remember this. And I use this myself all the time. I believe, but help me with my unbelief. You're always going to have some unbelief. There's always going to be some doubt. This is what you cure in yourself. This is how you heal yourself, by getting rid of that unbelief. Anytime a negation comes up, a doubt comes up, you have to sit down and get that out of your mind. Rid yourself. Remember, we did a wonderful meditation with the garden, and we weeded the garden. Your mind is just a garden. It's a fertile place. It's the field of all possibilities. What possibilities are you allowing to grow in your mind? You see, you're allowing possibilities that are negative to grow. There's no negativity in the mind of God, people. When we say God, all things are possible with God, we have to add, all good things are possible with God. Anything that isn't good isn't God. That's outside somewhere of this thing. It's done with our mind. It's the way we're looking at it. It's the way we're judging it, and we're calling it bad. God looks at everything and sees nothing but good. God is incapable of seeing bad. We are capable of seeing bad because we qualify things. And they don't come out the way we want them, so we say that must be bad. Instead of just looking at something and saying, it is. It is. There's a wonderful book out called Something by Baron Katie. Baron, isn't it?
Byron.
Katie. What's the name of the book? Ah. Love what is. Love what is. You have to love what's in front of you, regardless what it looks like. As soon as you love what is in front of you, it will change for you. It will change for you. It's a whole idea of the saying that Jesus said, love your enemy. You see, if you love your enemy, the enemy disappears. It's no longer an enemy. If you love what's in front of you, it changes. You get it? See? Love your enemy and immediately. If you love your enemy, it disappears. Anything that you love disappears. It becomes something else. It becomes something else. But we see something in front of us and we consider it bad and we don't want it. And the more we see it banned, the more we don't want it, the more it stays there. Instead of transforming that or transmuting that into something else. And you do that with love. You do that with a sincere heart. With this whole idea of sincerity. So, if all this stuff was known, the idea of a spirit that was universal, that was in everybody. During pagan Rome, if this other thing, the idea of choice, and day by day you're building your character, was known long before Christianity, was known by what they called the pagans and the pagan religions, what happened that we do not know this? Why are we not further ahead in civilization? I read once where they believe that Christianity set back humanity 2,000 years because they burnt so many books, they burnt so many things. They stifled so many things. Do this for yourself. This is a secret of life right here. It's done with your choice. It's done with your mind. It's a mental world we live in. Get that down, pat, so that you never have to say again, well, no, I think it was my mother. No, I think it's the economy. You can't come up with those excuses any longer. If you want to grow, if you want to grow, and why don't you do it in this lifetime? Now, you may get another lifetime. I'm not saying you can't do that. But if you only had this one lifetime, wouldn't you like to learn that lesson?
Yes.
And if you stopped reading all these other books that come out, and I'm a great one for that. I love to read everything that comes out and see what these people have to say. But very few of them will say this, and this is the most important thing. And look how old it is. 544 B.C. In 544 B.C., somebody knew that the content of your character is your choice. The content of your character is your choice. You have to decide, who do you want to be? What do you want to be? And then become that. We become what we think about all day long. What are you thinking about? Are you holding yourself in the highest of esteem? Are you always knowing how wonderful you are? Are you always loving to yourself? Or do you yell at yourself? Don't yell at yourself. Respect yourself. Know what a miracle you are. Know what wonderful things you can do. I'm just absolutely delighted of all the wonderful things I can do. I'm delighted to be alive. And I try to savor every moment. Every moment I try to savor. Because although we do not die, we lose these magnificent bodies. And then we just sort of float around. I'm making that up. I have no idea. I haven't been there. And if anyone has, they've never told me. But we'll lose all these wonderful abilities that we have, which we think sometimes are horrible things that we're human beings. So the only thing that we have to worry about ever is our thinking, is taking care of this mind, is learning to think the thought that you want to think, and learning to feel the feeling that you want to feel. Those are the things that you want in life. Those are the things that will bring you peace of mind. Peace of mind is the kingdom of heaven. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all else will be added unto you. But you do not seek peace of mind. You seek money. You seek relationships. You seek everything else. What you are seeking are side effects. I have told you that 133,000 times. They are side effects. Seek ye first the important thing. Peace of mind. When you find peace of mind, all else will be added unto you. Will all open up to you. But enjoy this wonderful experience that you're having and look at it as a wonderful experience. And when something comes up that doesn't feel quite right, say, look, this is a wonderful opportunity for me to learn something. And I'm going to learn something from this. I'm not going to let it get me down. There's no way that anything can get you down. You have a power within you that is greater than anything that can ever happen to you. Learn to use that power. Learn to see your magnificence. Learn to realize that life is a choice. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.